The Dark Knight is about to lighten up. In the Lego Batman movie, which opens on Friday, Will Arnett voices the animated Caped Crusader, with Michael Cera as Robin the Boy Wonder.
Hey, I was thinking, if I'm going to be a superhero and go on awesome superhero missions like this one, can we use code names? Mine could be Robin.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Robin.
As in the small Midwestern frail bird.
Yeah, and I already have a catchphrase. Tweet, tweet, on the street.
Hard pass.
And a song.
Fly, Robin, fly.
Harder pass. Elm slide.
It is a stark departure from the brooding Batman you might be used to seeing on the big screen. But NPR pop culture critic Glenn Weldon, who wrote A Cultural History of Batman, says that throughout his 78-year history, the character has always cycled through phases of darkness and light. And now we are due for some light. Right, Glenn?
Absolutely. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. In your book, The Caped Crusade, you say Batman changes over the years in ways that other superheroes don't. I do not follow this stuff as closely as you do, so can you give us an example of what you mean?
Sure, sure. I mean, he has cycled through these phases on the comic book page for 78 years. It's just that normals like you, unlike nerds like me, you don't see it because when it happens in movies and television, that's when his public perception changes. So in 1966, you get the Adam West Batman, who is the camp crusader, right? He drinks milk. He never double parks the Batmobile. Later in 1989, you get the Tim Burton, very dark, brutal, kind of goth Batman. Then Joel Schumacher comes along, he adds Robin, he lightens the tone a bit. And then finally you get Christopher Nolan, who gets rid of the kid and then returns him to the shadows.
So let's start with the old Batman, the Adam West Batman show, which is, like you said, pretty campy. Let's hear a clip.
I think all we have to do now is blast off.
You can't get away from Batman that easy.
Easily. Good grammar is essential, Robin.
Thank you, Batman.
You're welcome. Now, let's get them.
But to a lot of listeners, you know, the Batman they know and love is this darker one. You were talking about the Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck, Christian Bale Batman.
Where were the other drugs going?
I never knew. I don't know. I swear to God.
Swear to me.
And Glenn, you say this waffling back and forth is not a coincidence.
No, it's not. It's all connected. One Batman leads to the other. One Batman's a reaction to the one that came before. The 1966 Batman came along because they couldn't get the rights to Superman and Dick Tracy. They're just making a show. And since they looked down on comics so thoroughly, they made a Batman who was very silly, who was ridiculous. That approach angered a lot of fans for many, many years. And for the last 40 years, we've been living in the shadow of that. So that's the Tim Burton Batman, the Christopher Nolan Batman, and the Batman that has existed in the comics is a reaction to that. It's a refutation of the Adam West Batman. And it's that culture of fanboys embracing the dark, broody Batman that the Lego Batman movie has come along to refute.
So I take it you liked Lego Batman.
Very much. The plot of this movie is Batman learning that being a dark, disaffected loner isn't enough. He needs to make connections, human connections. He needs to open himself to other people. It's, if you think about it, follow me here, Kelly, it's a transition from adolescence to adulthood, from being the sulky, brooding goth alone in your room to entering adult society. So in a weird way, very weird way, this is actually the most emotionally mature Batman film we've ever seen. I predict that this is going to be the end of the cycle because they're integrating the nerds and the popular stuff, and it's finally nerds being able to make fun of themselves.
Glenn Weldon is an NPR contributor and panelist on Pop Culture Happy Hour. His book is The Caped Crusade, Batman and the Rise of Nerd Culture. Thank you so much.
Thank you.